All right, we are studying from Proverbs. Obviously, we all know that. And we're going to continue where we left off last week. We are making our way through by topic, as opposed to just reading one song or one proverb and then another all the way through. We're talking about the benefits of wisdom and understanding in lesson two. So that's where we left off last week, was in the middle of question number 10. So what I've got, left my marker at question number 10. It's what blessings does sound wisdom and discretion bring? And we went through several in the list. Now, this is taken from Proverbs 3, 21 through 24. I'll go ahead and read that. Proverbs 3, 21 through 24. It says, "My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." So we've got six things to answer here. What blessings does sound wisdom and discretion bring? What we talked about last week was life to your soul is the first thing that's listed there. And we talked about Deuteronomy chapter 32. I know some people weren't here last week, so I'll go ahead and review a little bit. But jumping over Deuteronomy 32, beginning in verse 44. In Deuteronomy 32, beginning in verse 34. It says, "Then Moses came and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he with Joshua the son of Nun. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, 'Take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word you will prolong your days in the land, which you were about to cross into the Jordan to possess.'" So just prior to going into the promised land, or on their way to the promised land. Deuteronomy?
Say the reference again,
Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32, 44 through 47. And what he's telling them is the words that he just spoke were... The Song of Moses begins at the beginning of chapter 32. And they've gone through the whole Song of Moses, and when he gets to the end in verse 43, then in verse 44 is the part that I just read. So he's telling you to remember the words of this song, because it tells the story of the deliverance, their deliverance out of Egyptian bondage. And they're on their way to the promised land, but what he tells them is, "Take to your heart," verse 46, "take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life." That's powerful. He's telling him, these are not idle words. Listen carefully to these words. The words of God are our life. That's what sustains our life. And when it says life to your soul, there and back in Proverbs 3:21, it brings life to your soul. That's the same thing that we're talking about here. Proverbs 8:35, like I said, this is by way of review. We talked about a few of these last week, but Proverbs 8:35 says, "For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Now, Proverbs 8, if you remember right, that is the personification of wisdom. When we read Proverbs 8 specifically, chapter 8, he talks about wisdom. He's talking like as if wisdom was a person talking right to your face. Wisdom. So when he says in verse 35, "He who finds me finds life." When he says me, he's talking about wisdom. He who finds wisdom finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. 16:22, Proverbs 16:22. These are parallel passages that pretty much say the same thing, but we're trying to glean as much wisdom as we can, so we might as well take a look at them. Proverbs 16 and verse 22 says, "Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly." Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it. So these are passages that tell us the life to our soul is one of the benefits of wisdom. The blessings that sound wisdom and discretion bring is life to our soul. And then 21:21, I've got that down as a parallel passage as well. Proverbs 21:21, which says, "He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor." He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. So these are all blessings that come with wisdom. And when we get our nose in the book, we start seeing what God has to say to us and helping us to make wise decisions and choices and those things that we prayed for this morning. And this is how we do this. Put our nose in the book. The second thing I've got listed was adornment to your neck. And we talked about how, you know, what does that mean? If one of the blessings of sound wisdom and discretion brings adornment to your neck. Back to Proverbs 3. The way it's written is, "They will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck." So, the only parallel passage I've got there is Proverbs 1:9. Proverbs 1:9 says, "Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments around your neck." Now, in that particular instance, he's talking about your father's instruction and your mother's teaching. So he says, hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. And ornaments, let's see, number 9 says, literally, the word is necklaces around your neck. So, last week we talked about how sometimes it says jewels and sometimes it says rubies and sometimes, you know, different translations will translate one word in 3-4 different ways. But in this case, I believe what the adornment around your neck means, people will know that you're wise because you make wise decisions. It'd be something that shows outwardly.
Those rose wreaths and beads and stuff around their neck, you wonder where they get that from. But I mean, we read some.
That's a good question.
I was reading, when I went to Christian bookstore, we sold them. Each one of those beads, it's a prayer. It's like a memory device for the prayer.
Right.
But I've seen kids show up at school wearing them as though it were a necklace because I think they don't really know. They think about it, but they don't know what it's for. But then they wear the medals, the saint medals, and hang them, and it's all, you know, a lot of superstition.
I don't know where they got the rosary beads, but I know where they didn't get it.
Yeah.
They didn't get it from here.
Part of it is because, you know, hundreds of years ago, a lot of people didn't read, and so it was like a memory device, but then it turns into something else, and it becomes more than what it ever was meant to be.
Yeah, well, it became a man-made religion.
Exactly.
Man-made religion is if you say, you know, 15 Our Fathers, so you just repeat what Jesus said as the model prayer, and you say that over and 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 over.
He exactly said, you know, meaningless repetition is nothing.
Jesus condemned meaningless repetition, so. And then the other one, which is really blasphemy, which is, how many Hail Marys are you going to say? And, you know, Hail Mary, Mother of God? Seriously? It's a man-made religion. So we don't follow that. But anyway, yeah, that's a good point, though. I don't know where they got it, but ornaments around your neck, they're wearing them. You know. Specifically, though, we're talking about the blessings that sound wisdom and discretion bring, and adornment to your neck, I think that's what that means, is it's just something that is visible to people. They can see that you're making wise choices in your life. They can see you're not a fool if you live by wisdom. I've got, for C, walk in your way securely, back to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3:23 says, then you will walk in your way securely. Proverbs 4:4 says, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Walking in your way securely is holding fast the words. If you look over at, I read the wrong one. Proverbs 4:12. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. So we're talking about paths, walking in your way securely.
What version is that? Because that's not 4:12.
Proverbs 4:12.
Says, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble.
Yep. I read the wrong one. I read 14:14. Yeah. Proverbs 14:12. If I slow down a little bit, maybe. Proverbs 4:12. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. That is the parallel passage. And then 10:9. Proverbs 10:9. Which says, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. Walking in integrity means you're walking securely, and integrity is truth. Integrity is...
You're a person of your word.
Yes.
You do what you say you're going to do.
Person of your word. Yeah. When your word means something. When you say something is going to be and people believe you because you're a person of your word. So that's integrity. For D, I've got your foot will not stumble. So we're back in Proverbs 3, 21 through 24. Foot will not stumble is part of 23. So Proverbs 3, 23 says you will walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. Last week we talked about going to 1 Samuel 2, 9. What that is Hannah's prayer. So Hannah, after she prayed for a son, and God blessed her with a son. Let me get over there. 1 Samuel 2:9. Oh, it was almost already there. So in the midst of her prayer, she says, he keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. But what does it mean when God keeps the feet of his godly ones? Your foot will not stumble. These are blessings of sound wisdom and discretion. Latanya?
Keep your path straight.
Keep your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yeah. Your foot will not stumble. Take a look at Psalm 119:105. That's the immediate parallel passage that comes to mind. Psalm 119:105. Which I always appreciate when Dan Alford leads prayer. He always quotes this. And it's just a good one to bring to mind all the time. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's a great memory verse. It really is. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And that's what we're talking about when your foot will not stumble, because you can see the truth lights your way. And that's where we get our truth, is from God's word. And specifically, we're in the wisdom books right now, so we're getting, you know, special enlightenment as we make our way through the Proverbs. I've also got Psalm 16:11. Now, when somebody says Psalm 16, your mind should automatically go, oh, messianic. It's Psalm 16. That's where it says Jesus is going to rise from the dead. So, he will not abandon his soul to Sheol.
Say the reference again.
Psalm 16. Look at Psalm 16, and I've got verse 11 down, which is the last verse of the of the chapter. But Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever."
Verse
10 is the messianic prophecy that we see quoted in Acts 2 and a whole bunch of other places. That you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. That's a direct reference to Jesus being raised from the dead. But the following verse, "You'll make known to me the path of life," that's what we're talking about. The Word of God lets us know the path of life and the right path to be on and how we can keep our feet from stumbling. Look at 17:5. So not very far away. "My steps," this is Psalm 17, verse 5. "My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped." So, good morning. Come on in. Welcome. We're studying from the Proverbs, specifically wisdom from God. Lesson 2 is the benefits of wisdom and understanding. So you can see the citations up there on top. But right now we're in Proverbs 3. 21 and 20, 21 through 24.
Is that copies
of that?
Yeah.
Well, there's one.
Yeah, there's copies in the back.
Oh, there are.
Okay. Yeah, of just the slides.
Oh, okay. That might be more helpful. Just the slides. So we're on question number 10, and we're making our way down through A, B, C, D, E, F. And we are currently on E. So this is kind of where we left off last week. What I've got on mine for E would be no fear when going to sleep. We're talking about the blessings that sound wisdom and discretion bring. And you know, that's a really good one. I don't know if you've ever had trouble sleeping.
Which
chapter? No fear when going to sleep.
What chapter are you waiting to say it?
Proverbs 3. Let me get back over to where I was. Yeah. In Proverbs chapter 3, we were talking about verses 21 through 24. I'll read it again. "My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." So from those verses, we're talking about the blessings that sound wisdom and discretion bring. And the point about not being afraid when you go to sleep, it brings to mind Psalm 3. If you jump, keep your finger there because we're coming back to Proverbs, but look at Psalm 3. And you know, David, in the life of David, he had several times in his life when he had good reason to be afraid to sleep. He had people out for blood. He had people hunting him down. But Psalm 3, it's 8 verses. I'll just read the whole Psalm. Psalm number 3. "O Lord, how my adversaries have increased." Let me start by saying what it says at the beginning. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So this is when Absalom was trying to take over the kingdom. He wanted to kill his dad and be the new king. So he's trying to chase him down. "O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, and I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people." It's a short psalm, but it's very powerful and tells you that even though he had tens of thousands of people after him, you know, Absalom commanded a pretty sizable army. And Absalom said, "Let's go out and get him. Because once the king is dead, Long live the king. You know, then he was going to take over. But even with that fear, in verse 5, it says, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. That's how we can sleep sweet, is we know that the Lord sustains us. We know when we're obedient to the Lord, when we're living a righteous life, according to God's word, that God will take care of his own. You know? I've quoted it many times in this class, and I'll do it again. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's a providence verse that tells you that if you're doing God's will, he's watching that for you. You can sleep sweet. You don't have to go to bed worrying for your life or worrying about your soul. Because if things are well, you know, the song, it is well with my soul. The only way it's well with your soul is if you're being an obedient servant of Christ. So that's the way we are. That's the way we want to be. So that's Psalm 3. Take a look at Proverbs 1:33. Go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 1:33 says, but he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Again, Proverbs starts out by saying, you know, Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, we understand as we make our way through all the Proverbs that that's the goal, is to gain in all of these things, the instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Go ahead.
Just to go back to Proverbs 1:33 that you read a moment ago, the part that says, we'll be at ease from the dread of evil. It doesn't mean there isn't going to be any evil. We're surrounded by it.
Right.
But the dread, that anxiety that we sometimes feel when, you know, something's happened or we're afraid that something's going to happen, if we are really obediently following, reading God's word, we're supposed to be able to experience a calmness and a peace about that. We know things are going to happen, and of course they do. We've all had, you know, bad things happen in our lives, but we have to know our ultimate destination should be heaven, and if that's true, then we really don't have any worries. We know where we're headed. Things are going to happen,
yeah.
And being anxious about it doesn't help a thing.
Very good point. And that, again, is the end-all of that verse that I quoted, Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says that we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Jesus was nailed to a cross. Did things work out well for him? Yes. Because God raised him from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God today. If they nail me to a cross, are things going to work out well? Yes. Because if they nail me to a cross for serving God, I'm going to heaven. If we have heaven waiting, there's nothing in this world that can get us down. I mean, that really is the point. And honestly, Romans... I can quote 8:28, but I can't quote 8:18. But 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That is the faith. That really is the foundation of our faith. Is that it doesn't matter what kind of suffering we do on this earth, it can't even be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed to us. So, yes, Linda.
Which brings to me Philippians 4:6.
Philippians 4:6.
and nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.
That's the perfect verse to quote. It is, and that's exactly what Carolyn was just talking about, that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Noah?
It brings to mind me of Matthew 7.
Matthew 7?
24. Basically, everything I'm studying, I'm trying to think, to me, kind of intertwined with Matthew 7. And your favorite verse, too.
You remember my favorite verse? Matthew 7:21. So you're talking about Matthew 7:24, which says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Yeah. It's the practical application of wisdom. The practical application is there's something to do. We can't just sit around and be wise. You know, I'm a wise sage. And I, you know, everybody comes to me for advice, and I can give the wise wisdom. No, that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is acting correctly. It's wise behavior, what it says at the beginning of Proverbs. It's instruction in wise behavior. Well, your behavior has to be wise, has to reflect the wisdom that's up here. And, you know, that's something else we've talked about in this class a lot. We're going to be judged by our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Three things. God's going to judge us on three things: our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. So if our thoughts are correct, then our words and our deeds will be correct too. Because this is the rudder. This is the guide. This is what guides our life is you know, the Bible heart is the head. The Bible heart is your brain. It's what you think. It's how we learn wise behavior. And that's why we got our nose in the book right now. That's why we're talking about the Proverbs and wisdom and the benefits of wisdom and understanding. Finishing number 10, the last thing I've got is sleep sweet. You know, back to Proverbs. Let me get back to the bookmark here. Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. I love that expression. You know, there's sleeping well, but there's sleeping sweet. Sleeping sweet is a comfort. We can lay down with the confidence that God's got this. Everything's in God's hands. My life, my soul is in God's hands. If I die tonight, I'll see the Lord. You know, that's the confidence we have when we sleep sweet. When we go to bed at night and we, you know, I know it's not required in Scripture that we say a good night prayer, but it's a good habit to get into, you know. I was always taught by my mom that it should be your first and last thought of the day. God should be your very first and very last thought of every day. And, of course, continuing through the day would be good, too. But your first and last thought, because first thing in the morning, when you wake up, and you open your eyes and you go, you just took a big breath. That breath is a blessing from God. He's just given you another night and another day. And then at night, when you go into bed at night, you don't know you're going to wake up tomorrow. So that should be your last thought before you go to bed too. And when you give thanks for the day that you just spent and all the blessings thereof, and you pray to God to keep my soul tonight, and if I should die before I wake, please, you know, give me that reward. Yes, Carolyn.
Also, I think this is a pretty common experience at night, everything often looks terrible. You have the worst thoughts about, you know, how bad things could get. And many times, if you get a good night's sleep, things look better in the morning. That's, you know, it's not always true, but it's a truism. It's very often true. And if we can get that good night's sleep, you know, we have a fresh start every day.
As a general rule, that is true. Things look better in the morning. But what we're praying for when we go to sleep at night is that we will see the morning. And if not, then we'll see the grand and glorious last day. You know, one of those. And that's what we're hoping. That is our hope. I've got listed here Proverbs chapter 6. Look at Proverbs 6 and we'll read 20 through 22. Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. Through 22. So, when you sleep, they'll watch over you. What? The commandment of your father and the teaching of your mother. We're talking about God's word. Talking about when your parents have taught you from the Word of God, God's Word is what watches over you. When you walk about, they guide you. When you sleep, they watch over you. So that's what we're talking about, sleep sweet. Sweet sleep. When we have sweet sleep, it's because we have the confidence that God's got this, and I don't have to worry about dying in my sleep. Because, you know, the older you get, the more you think about stuff like that. It's just a matter of life, I guess. But as we know, there's people, young people die all the time. So it's not like, you know, death is reserved for old people. Young people are dying all the time, especially in the violent society in which we live. So anyway, that's the end of number 10, unless there's any questions or comments. But question number 10, the blessings that sound wisdom and discretion bring. Latanya.
Well, I know when you have wisdom, it makes you have such control. It makes you line up. It makes you keep that tug. It makes you hold it. It makes you think about God when you're going to do something you have no business doing. That's if you keep your head in the hood.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to do that.
That's a really good way to put it. You know, wisdom helps us to have that self-control. And God expects it. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is self-control. And we're definitely expected to have that. All right, number 11 seems like the answer is obvious. Who is to be our confidence? This is from Proverbs 3:26. To read the... Hold on a second. Yeah, Proverbs 3:26. I'm on the wrong chapter. To read the verse answers the question. For the Lord will be your confidence. Let's see, I've got a reference that says, some say, at your side. Do you have any translations say the Lord will be at your side? No. Okay. The Lord will be your confidence and keep your foot from being caught. Again, take a look, if you would, at Hannah's prayer over in 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2, again, this is where she has prayed to God for a son, and he's granted that to her, and she's giving thanks. I'm going to read 6 through 10. 1 Samuel 2, 6 through 10. This is the tail end of her prayer. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. The Lord is to be our confidence. That is the source of our confidence in life, in our spiritual lives, as we think about how we live and how we treat one another. The Lord is to be our confidence. Any other questions, comments about number 11? We'll go ahead. Oh, Jenny.
That says, the NIV says, where the Lord will be at your side.
Ah, the NIV does say that, at your side. It's one of those marginal references that says, or. So, figured somebody must say that. All right, moving on to number 12. Boy, lots of answers for number 12. Oh, should we go back? Who is to be our confidence?
Okay, Hebrews 13, verse 6.
Hebrews 13, verse 6.
So that with good courage we say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what shall man do unto me? When I read verse 26 in Proverbs, I also read verse 25 to go with it. Because it says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For Jehovah will be thy confidence and will keep thy foot from being taken. So what shall man do unto me? He's got God on him. We've got God on our side.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. And that passage in Hebrews, it just fits right in. Again, Hebrews 13, 6. That's part of the sentence that starts in verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So, yeah, that's the confidence that we have. It's drawing to mind a Bible study that Claire and I had this week. Back over in, hold on just a minute, where am I? We were studying from Matthew 10. Bell's probably about to ring anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, about 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Well, it's not coming to mind. It must be one of the reference passages that we went to, but here it is. Here it is. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. When Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What's happening in Matthew chapter 10 is Jesus is giving what's sometimes called the limited commission, where he's telling the apostles to go out and prepare the way for him, because he's going to tour the cities. And he wants them to go to the cities ahead of time and tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is on the road. He'll be here in a little while. And he gives them the power to, you know, heal the sick and cast out demons and raise the dead. And he tells them, you know, go out, but they're not going to accept you well. Some of the people will accept it, and some of them will turn you away. And then he tells them that verse 21, Matthew 10, 21, brother will betray brother to death and a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. It's not going to be an easy road for the apostles as they walk down. Noah?
Oh, well, I was just thinking, even though the Lord is with those who love him and do his will, it doesn't mean they're not going to be persecuted, they're not going to be
exactly
have trials, they're not going to have bad nights of sleep. They're going to have all that stuff. But in the end, heaven is there.
Exactly. In the end, heaven is there. Did that bell ring? Oh, for some reason I thought I did. I guess I was thinking about it. But yeah, that is the confidence we have is that God is in control. God is in control of everything, and we don't have to worry about that. You know, back to Matthew chapter 6, when he says, verse 25, Matthew 6, 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So, lots of wisdom in the Sermon on the Mount. That's why we always keep going back to it. All right, that's the end of today's study, so thank you for being here for Proverbs. We'll put a marker at number 12, which we'll pick up next week.